With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, did you know that some monuments in Ireland are older than the pyramids? And why is Ireland even called Ireland? Well, I don't know, but Jane Casey does. She's a content creator and history lover whose TikTok and Insta are the best followers around, and she's here with me now. Jane, you're very welcome along to the show.
How are you, Laura? Lovely to be here on a lovely rainy Monday.
I know, fantastic. Got inside.
I got inside. So we're winning already.
Well, we are about to learn loads. So this is kind of, you know, food for thought for everybody who is listening in right now. And we are absolutely buzzing. I just need to start off first with you. Like, I met you years ago, but at that time, like, I didn't remember you putting up all these videos, and then next thing it just went pop. Fantastic. But what made you decide to start making all these videos?
That's exactly it. We met in a different capacity. Yeah. I do social media marketing. That's what I do professionally. But I also love history.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I'm not an academic by any means. I never really liked textbook.
Yeah.
I actually didn't do history in the Leaving Cert, would you believe?
Oh my God, gosh.
But I love a story, and there's so much history in this country that never made it to a textbook. So I'm that person that, you know, I'm with a group of my mates and we're in Temple Bar, and I'm like, could I just drag you over to this medieval well? I just want to read this little plaque. That's always been me. And then about a year ago, I was doing what I do, and I spotted a casual 4,000-year-old tomb up by the Hellfire Club.
As you do.
As you do. Took a video of it, sent it to my brothers in my family WhatsApp, and then said, do you know what? I do this for a living. Maybe if I, like, put this up online and made it a little bit of a story, maybe it would resonate with people, might be more accessible to people. And I got 7,000 views. Hardly viral.
No, but that's
huge. I kept going with it. And it's been so gratifying because it's a nice way to merge a few things that I'm, you know, good at, interested in, and bring a little bit of positivity to people's feeds.
Isn't it so gas? And just like, we'll get into the weeds of it now in a second, but the fact that you even said there, like, oh, 7,000 views. And like, you think of that and you're like, oh, nothing. You got 7,000 people in a room. That's a lot of people.
I always think that.
Like,
it's
huge. And to have that many people actually viewing your stuff is phenomenal from the get-go.
Yeah.
Let's start with Birr County Offaly. Mm-hmm. What had you down there recently and what did you find out?
I was doing a bit of work down there and I hadn't explored Offaly much at all, really. And I was absolutely blown away. It's actually one of the coolest towns I've been to in Ireland.
Stop.
Yeah. No, I'm like you, I'm a late bloomer. I only got my car a couple of years ago. So I haven't got to do too much exploring. But Birr, what I didn't realise is, well, it's home to Birr Castle, which it's a big domain. There's beautiful grounds, acres and acres of land, and a gorgeous castle. Loads of history there. I could spend all day talking about. There's been a castle there for about 1,000 years in some form. But in the past 100 years, 200 years, the Parsons family lived there, and they were innovators, engineers, and astronomers. And one of the Parsons in 1845 invented a 30-foot telescope called the Leviathan that you can still see there.
Stop it.
It is massive.
So now, this happened here.
It's huge. And it was the biggest telescope in the world for about 70 years. It's crazy. So one, go see that. But they also invented like steam turbine, which was used in like the Titanic. And they also created an experimental car. And they took it on a little spin around Birr, and it only went about 2 miles an hour.
Still.
But it crashed, and their cousin was in it and was thrown off and killed.
Oh my gosh.
Very sadly, but it was the first ever recorded car fatality in Birr County Offaly. Would you believe?
Oh my God.
Mind blown. I love stuff like
this. Sorry, my jaw is genuinely on the floor there. That's why I didn't even speak there for a couple of minutes. I was like, this is just Birr. You know, I'm not too far away from Birr. Like, in Galway, it's not too awfully far from us. This is just wild that there's actually this much history just sitting right there. And the country seeped in it.
Oh, like, that's barely scratches the surface. Yeah. Like, it's, Ireland is covered in history that spans, like, 10,000 years or more. Like, that we can still see, which is mind-boggling to me.
That is
it actually
wild.
Makes me feel a little bit better about my own problems. I'm like, oh, I'm a drop in the ocean. We're grand.
We're totally fine for a tiny island. We're providing an awful lot. Yeah. Okay, in Dublin, why were you chasing down stories about Stout?
So I was walking down South Richmond Street there about a week or two ago past the old Bernard Shaw pub. Many people would know it. Very sad to see it kind of derelict. It was always so buzzing. And it just occurred to me, it's a really old building. I wonder what the story is there. So I went, as I do, buzzing through the archives, the newspaper archives, and I found an article from the former owner, Margaret Bambrick. So it used to be a pub called Bambrick's, apparently. And it was an article, actually, it was a written apology from 1945 in a national newspaper, apologising to Arthur Guinness and Sons for selling stout that wasn't the genuine Guinness article, and apologising profusely. And then I went digging more. And it turns out over the past century, there was dozens of these all over the country, these letters of apology popping up in newspapers. And it turns out Guinness would send in secret shoppers, find out if they were selling real Guinness, because they had to bottle their own Guinness in the pubs back then, so okay. It was easy to fake. And if they were found to be selling the fake Guinness, they would not find them, not take them to court, force them to out themselves publicly, which is kind of badass.
That is so tragic.
Isn't it?
Oh, you'd be mortified.
It's a boss move, I think. But you'd be mortified.
It'd be the equivalent of someone posting something on social now, like back in the day, you'd be like, oh, geez, I couldn't be seen going in there.
Yeah.
What are they selling you?
Imagine being forced.
What are they selling you?
But it's amazing. So that's, again, you know, the Guinness legacy, it's amazing.
While we're actually talking about pubs, let's talk about, because we've got really, really, really old pubs in Ireland, like it's part of our heritage. Mm-hmm. What about the Bleeding Horse? What came to your attention there by the fact that everybody goes on a first aid to the Bleeding Horse?
Do they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, loads of my friends used to always pick the Bleeding Horse as like first aid territory.
Well, I'm going to give you a first aid anecdote that's going to get the other person impressed.
Go on.
It's the site of where a horse bled out and died.
Oh God, maybe they should stop doing their first aid.
There you go, romance. So going back, I think the year was 1649, the Bleeding Horse says that it's the second oldest pub in Dublin, next to the Brazen Head, I believe. 1649 was the year of the Battle of Rathmines, so this was around Cromwellian time. There was, I think, 2,000 to 4,000 people were killed or wounded around the Rathmines area. And it said that one of the horses strayed from the battle and died in that spot, and that there was a tavern there. So.
And that's what they called it then?
That's what they called
it. Really sad.
I mean, there's a few different theories why. Yeah. I think that's a pretty, it's historically accurate one, possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually so gas because it's like, you never think really too far, because as long as I've been in Dublin, I've just always known it as just being a pub there and never even thought twice about why it's named that.
Yeah.
You're going to have me questioning everything now.
That's the goal. Like, honestly, like there's so much around us and everything, you know, everything has a story and it actually makes up how we live our life now. So I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like we do this way because of someone 100 years ago, where we call this that because of, I just love it.
And
it
just different
amazing.
Sayings and whatnot. Yeah. Let's talk about lepers, because why not?
Why not? Like, you had Bleeding Horse and now we've got leprosy.
Yeah.
Great. So
let's
there's another one for the first date. We'll get you going. So leprosy was rife in Ireland, actually in Europe in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
So around the 10th century to the 13th century. And we know that because lots of our place names are still... they still linger with the leprosy there. So, for instance, Leopardstown. It's not Leopardstown. So, its original name was Ballian and Lower, which is Town of the Lepers, because there was a leper hospital there.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then over the years, it became corrupted to, instead of Leopardstown, Leopardstown.
Yeah.
Probably for the house prices, you know what I mean?
I would say so.
And it's said as well that Galloping Green, just down the road, the horses used to gallop by really fast in the carriages because they didn't want to catch anything.
Oh.
Mind blown, right?
But again, this is just like a simple thing that we've just always lived with.
Yeah, you know, like, never questioned.
I know this is the goal of this. I know that it is like exactly this is just to start questioning things a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's mad that actually when you break it down, how simple it all is that you're going, oh, wow, this is actually wild.
Well, the reason why I started looking into leprosy is because I was down in Tipperary at the Rock of Cashel and I overheard a tour guide point up to a window box up in the cathedral, and it was a tiny little slit.
Yeah.
And they said that's called a leper's squint. It's where they would put people with leprosy so they could still see the mass but not, you know, not mingle.
Yeah.
Really sad.
So sad.
But yeah, a lot of our place names actually are derived from that time in history.
We have a lot of folklore and, you know, a lot of it that turns into like a little bit of spooky stories. And we are only a month out. I think I can start talking about it now without being annoyed.
Yeah.
From Halloween. Have you got any spooky stories for me?
Oh, there's loads of spooky stories. So what's a good one? I think many people don't know that the Shelburne Hotel is haunted. Do you know about this?
No.
Yeah, or it's so it's said. So... now, I might get the dates a little bit hazy, but it was back in, I think, so the hotel itself is about 200 years old.
Yeah.
I think they just celebrated their 200th birthday, actually. And about, I think it was in the 1960s, two mediums, they were a married couple, went and visited the hotel. And they, because they heard stories of noises and things like that. And the wife, one of the mediums, she woke up in the middle of the night to feel something cold beside her and the feeling of wool against her arm. And she started talking to what this thing was. Laura's actually freaking out here. And anyway, she started talking to this thing. And it was a little girl called Mary Masters.
It's always a little girl.
Always. And she was 7 or 8. And she apparently used to live in that building in the area. And she died of cholera around the late 1700s. And she was just searching for her sister, her older sister. And what's actually really interesting is what's her name? Lily Collins,
yeah,
the actor. She spoke about experiencing the ghost of Mary Masters on one of the late night shows in America. I think it was Seth Meyers. And she spoke of it. You can look it up on YouTube. And she said she heard doors banging in the middle of the night outside her room. So it's definitely a story that's lasted the test of time. It's, you know, it's still going.
Well, like, I used to always be jealous of staying in Shelburne. Maybe now I'm okay with staying in my own house. I'm good with this. Jane, we could keep you here all day asking you questions about around the country. But if people wanted to give you a follow, where can they find you?
You can get me on Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. I think I'm on YouTube. At janecasey.ie is my handle.
Jane, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Jane Casey, content creator, digging up all of the history around us. As she said, you can follow her on any of her socials at Jane Casey. I'll share them on my Instagram as well right now. We'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.